is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey on this Saturday morning. We had six preseason games in the NFL last night, six more today. Michael, how are we doing?
We're doing good. I mean, nothing like watching it. It's great. You know, it was fun to watch. And again, I like that some teams are trying to play their starters, try to get a feel. Deshaun Watson played the first drive of the game, you know, their offensive line. So it's good to see that, you know, and as they're trying to get some kind of rhythm, especially for guys like Russell Wilson and Watson, who didn't play well last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to get those guys out there and get those reps. We saw Jordan Love. We saw Sam Howell. So we're starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Not the entire puzzle, of course. We're going to learn that in the regular season, but just getting a little bit of clues of what might be coming later on this fall. But we do have a fun show on tap for you guys. Make sure to tweet at us at VSiN Live on Twitter. At M Lombardi NFL is where you can find Michael. At Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. We have three guests joining us over these next 2 hours, starting in 30 minutes. Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, now radio host over at 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. Can America's team take that next step? We'll ask Broaddus in 30 minutes. Then at 11:15, 8:15 West Coast time, Carl Jig-Jag Johnson from the Beau Rivage in Biloxi will be joining us. Let us know what's going on there down in Biloxi. Then also at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. The Bears host the Titans in about a couple hours or 3 hours from now, I should say. So we'll get the latest thoughts on what's going on at Bears camp and what we should expect to see later on today as the Bears take on the Titans. Chicago right now, 3.5-point favorites in that game. But Michael, let's react to what we saw last night. And I want to start in Cincinnati because everybody, the whole football world, wanted to see Jordan Love. Now that he is the face of the franchise for the Packers, he is QB1. And last night in their win over the Bengals, 36-19, by the way, Jordan Love, 7 of 10, 46 yards, one touchdown to Romeo Doubs on the second series of the games. But what did you make of Jordan Love in his debut here in the preseason for year four for him?
You know, I thought actually both quarterbacks for Green Bay played really well. I was really impressed with Love. He had good rhythm, good timing. But I was really impressed with Sean Clifford. You know, we had heard that Sean Clifford was playing well up there. And then when you watch the game, I was really impressed. I know he threw two interceptions, but I thought he played really well. I thought he had great rhythm, great timing. He looked way better to me than he ever looked at Penn State. So, you know, I made fun of them drafting him in the fifth round. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on here.
Yeah, same.
No, I thought he was really good, and I thought he played well. And I think this Packer team is better than people think it is, and I think it continues to do that. You know, Love did not look uncomfortable. Love looked like he was poised. Now, you know, he only had 10 passing attempts for 46 yards, which isn't great. It's funny. When you go through the QBR, right, I mean, Clifford's QBR is significantly less than Love's, but Clifford played better. I mean, the two interceptions, they value all this stuff a little differently. But I thought I was impressed with Green Bay. I really was. I thought Green Bay was – their offensive line hung in there, and I thought their quarterbacking play was good.
Yeah, no, I thought Clifford, like, for me, it was a little up and down. Like, you mentioned the two interceptions that he had, one of them being a pick six. But there was a play that he made where he was flushed out to his left, and then he made that throw over the DB's hands, and it just dropped it right into the bucket for the wide receiver. And I was like, whoa, like, that's – like you mentioned, like, we didn't see that at Happy Valley, which maybe for those of you who are college football bettors, maybe you take one last look at Penn State here. Because if Clifford looks improved now, maybe it wasn't him that was the problem out there for the Nittany Lions. Maybe it was something else that was going
on. That was my reaction, Femi. I said, this doesn't look good for James Franklin. But here's what I think. Forget the plays. Forget, you know, is the guy's arm tied to his feet? And I think this was one of those situations where Clifford's arm was tied to his feet. He had great rhythm. He's going to make mistakes, right? He's going to throw interceptions. I don't – look, it's preseason. I'm not going to kill somebody for throwing a pick. But what you want to see is a quick-minded quarterback, you know, whereas when you watch C.J. Stroud at his first start, that wasn't quick-minded. You know, under center wasn't comfortable for him. First play of the game, he's got a chance to throw the out. It's wide open. He holds the ball. He's not sure. He tries to throw the option route inside, you know, incomplete. Then, you know, he gets sacked, and it starts to go bad. Is C.J. Stroud, you know, ready to be a starting quarterback? Based on that little bit of experience, no. You know, I think he's trying to learn how to play under center. And then when he throws the interception, it was pretty easy for Jalen Mills to pick him off because he just stared down the receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, he led the free safety to the receiver because he just looked at him the whole play. So that's a work in progress, where Clifford was quick-minded. So there's the variation you have to take a look at. Sam Howell, you know, I thought Sam Howell in what he played, they're running essentially Mahomes' offense in Washington, right? Mm-hmm. They're not under center. They're in shotgun, tight end, Y motion, trying to duplicate the plays that Andy runs there in Washington. And I thought he didn't look quick-minded either.
Mm. He did have like a nice fourth down conversion, Sam Howell. And it was, I thought it was a pretty good test for him, because Cleveland, credit to Stefanski and his staff, they played a lot of their starters on defense. Myles Garrett didn't play, but Za'Darius Smith was out there. We saw a lot of those guys out there for that Cleveland Browns defense. It was a nice test to see Howell in that spot here.
I think Cleveland realizes that they have to start fast and play well. I think the pressure's on Cleveland. And look, you know, they obviously have a good team. I think their defense is going to be really good. I thought their tackling was excellent in that game.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to determine from these preseason games, right? You want to see the physicality of the teams, and you want to see if they're tackling. You know, because there's really no live tackling in these practices, right? Even when you go against another team, you want to see guys see how they tackle in space, who can make plays. And I thought Cleveland was pretty impressive in that area. You also want to see execution. I mean, Cleveland attempted 41 passes in the game. Think about that. They attempted 41 passes. They ran the ball 30 times. They had 71 offensive plays against Washington.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And it was another nice showing for our guy, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He's climbing up that depth chart, man. Like, he is climbing up. I thought he was dynamic. 9 of 10, 102 yards, a touchdown. He was able to run when he could and all that. Escapability, everything is there. Like, I think if I'm Stefanski, I'm looking at this like, hey, we got a legitimate, like, competition for QB2 here. Because – I thought, you know, Kellen Mond, he was a little bit better than he was last Thursday in the Hall of Fame game. Dobbs was a little shaky, in my opinion, but DTR looked pretty good once again.
Well, look, I think one of the things you have to take from the Cleveland game is they were not afraid to run Watson in that game. Watson scrambled three times. At one time, he had a legitimate run called for him. You can see there's a sense of urgency in this Cleveland offense. And you could see there's a sense of urgency with this Cleveland team. I was impressed. I mean, I thought their physicality was good, you know, and I thought Washington quite wasn't where they need to be. It was their first game. It was Cleveland's second, so naturally they're going to be a little bit behind. But I was impressed with Watson. He was accurate. You know, he threw the ball with confidence. He didn't have an incomplete pass. He didn't make a lot of throws. They got a 3rd and 1 from the 1. They can't get it in. 4th and 1 from the 1. They can't get it in. Or else that the opening drive was going to result in a touchdown. So it's a lot of positivity to me coming out of Cleveland.
I want to go back to Cincinnati, because we talked about the Packers side of things. You were impressed with Sean Clifford. Jordan Love, you thought, looked comfortable in the offense, as he should in year 4 in that offense with Matt LaFleur, Green Bay winning the game. But on the Cincinnati side, there was a quarterback competition for QB2 between Trevor Siemian and Jake Browning. Browning got the start, went 10 of 17 for 95 yards with an interception. Trevor Siemian, 15 of 28 for 121 and an interception. But the biggest news for the Bengals side happened before the game. I don't know if you saw on Twitter, Michael, this video of Joe Burrow out there jogging around on the field about a few hours before kickoff. For our viewing audience, we're playing it right now here on VEASAN, the video courtesy of Bridget Condon over at the NFL Network. Burrow got a throwing session in there. He was throwing a 50-yard pass, I believe it was. And the Bengals, they came out and said that, hey, like, he's coming along with this rehab of the calf strain that he suffered during the first week of training camp, which, if you're a Bengal fan or a Bengal backer in terms of your money here, it's got to be a good sign to see Burrow out there moving around and looking like he's pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I would suspect he's on schedule to play in week 1 of the season, not in the preseason. You know, and those things are very delicate, right? You got to be careful not to re-injure it again, and you got to make sure that, you know, everything's in alignment. But this video looks good in terms of, now look, he's not, now, you know, you can take anything you want from that, but he's going slow. Mm-hmm. There's no push, there's no pull, there's no tug on the calf. So you got to be really careful. I mean, right now he's in the infancy stages of where he needs to be. So You know, I but at least it's positively, because when you look at the Bengals' execution, I mean, they had 20 incomplete passes in the game. You know, that's the one thing I think we all have to look at in preseason is execution, right? Mm-hmm. Execution is key. And when you look at the Packers' execution, and it really doesn't matter who plays, right? The Packers only had 9 incomplete passes the entire day. 9. You know, whereas Cincinnati had a hard time executing. And you could say, well, the offensive line breaks down. No, I think what we need to understand is execution is about how we've practiced and does practice situations become game reality. And I think that's really important. So, you know, Cincinnati needs to kind of get it going a little bit here. And I'm sure they probably will. Remember, Cincinnati takes the approach that we're going to constantly build through the season. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect them to be really in full execution form based on they haven't really had OTA days. They haven't done a lot of their mini camps. They kind of gradually ingratiate themselves into this football.
Yeah, and that goes into the season as well. So like the first month of the season, the Cincinnati you see in September will be different than the Cincinnati that you see in December and January, as they tend to a peak at the right time there in the playoffs. One last note there on the Burrow thing. I guess this is a positive sign after the Zach Taylor comments from earlier this week, but Zach Taylor didn't really say anything with those comments either. He said that he's still several weeks away from when I said he's several weeks away, which was essentially saying, hey, I told you guys already, he's several weeks away, quit asking for an update. But Burrow, good to see him out there. The line did move at Circa, where I'm sitting, Michael, went from pick'em to now Bengals once again favored by 2. We'll get to the other games that we saw last night and some of my losing bets from the preseason. I got to talk about it here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now is the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up today for $199. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. That's an awesome deal. Or you can join us for $19 for your first month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. 15 minutes from now, Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, now radio host at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, will join us. We'll talk America's team. Dallas Cowboys host the Jacksonville Jaguars later on this afternoon in preseason week number one. But Michael, before we continue to give our thoughts on what we saw last night, I have a bone to pick with the NFL here, because, you know, like the NFL, we obviously love it. You know, it's our job to cover it. It's our job to know it. And just as fans, we love the game. It's what we grew up on. But last night, my experience with NFL Plus, the streaming service that is used to watch some of these out-of-market preseason games, like the NFL is a $1 billion industry, a $1 billion business, the richest league that we have in America. And for some reason, we cannot get a quad box feature to be able to watch 4 preseason games at once. Like, I don't know why. Like, you have all the games starting at the same time. I would like to watch
really
all these
watch
games.
4 games at, I mean, are you that talented that you can watch 4 games at once? Seriously.
100%.
I mean, I got to stop you here. Like, 100%. Who can watch 4 games? I mean, I've spent 40 years watching NFL tape. I can't watch 4 games at one time. I can watch one and tell you what happened. I can watch one and tell you what was going on. But you're greater than I. To watch 4 and really understand 4 it, games? Like, how can anybody complain about that? Like, seriously.
I mean, why can't I watch 4? I can watch 4
Nobody
games at once.
Nobody can watch 4 games. I mean, John Nash can't watch 4 games at one time.
Well, I'm not watching it right now just to get a grasp on, like, actually what's happening, the bare bones. I want to watch my bets. Because people are betting on this stuff.
Well, why would you want to watch 4 games if you're not going to watch it? Why? I mean, as John Wooden once said, either we do it right the first time or when are we going to have time to do it right the second?
Well, I'll go back and watch, like, everything else.
Well, you could keep the score. I mean, watch one you want to watch, learn from that game.
Yeah.
And then keep the score. You're complaining about not watching 4 games. I mean, unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
I mean,
Not even the great Will Hill can watch 4 games at one time.
I'm sorry.
Not even the great Will Hill.
I'm sorry. I want to watch as many games as possible. I apologize, NFL.
But you're not watching them. You just have them on. You just have them. You're not watching them. You just have them on. You cannot watch four.
You can. I can watch my bets. I have bets on all four games. Like, let me watch
my
bets.
You can watch your bet on the ticker. You know? You can watch your bet on the ticker.
But for live wagering,
I mean, like, you know? I mean, look.
I can't believe you defending this.
I know YouTube has. I bought the Sunday ticket.
Yep.
I know YouTube will have the ability to watch four on one time. I won't use that because I can't. Of course you will, because you and Will Hill obviously have this unique ability to be able to process. You, Will Hill, and John Nash are the only – well, John Nash has since passed away. But,
yes,
you know, I mean, you have this ability to do it. I don't. I just don't. I can't.
I got to keep my eyes on what's going on. What if an injury happens? I got to make a live wager. You know, yeah, things are moving,
that's why
Michael.
That's why you have those injury alerts on your phone.
Oh, I
mean,
I do.
Sit there and watch. I watch the games with Berman on Sunday, and he's got that injury alert on his phone, and because he's got a fantasy, and he says, "Oh, this guy just got hurt." Okay, I got it.
But once you get the alert, then everybody knows because you can see it before the alert gets pushed out. But in that split second, you might have 30 seconds to make a bet in a live wager. That 30-second window is incredibly valuable. So I want to see that before the whole world gets.
I can't. I mean, well, this is not the stock market. You're not going to get it at a dollar. You know, like this is Michael Lewis, and we're going to.
You're wrong on that one. Because it is like that. There's a window there where you have a chance to make a bet. And I just want to be able to make some bets live wagering, and I would keep track of everything going on by watching it all. Because I love the sport. I want to watch it all. I can't believe you're defending these guys.
I want to watch it all too, but I want to watch it. I want to learn. I don't want to look. There's a difference between watching and looking. There's a difference between studying NFL games and watching NFL games. A lot of people just watch NFL games. They pretend they've studied them, but they don't understand it. But if you study the game and understand what happened, what was the cause and effect, you know, then you have a better understanding to help next week in the betting. I would rather know more about one game than a little bit about a lot of games.
Well, you're also not live wagering, so it's a little bit different.
No, but I mean, I sit there with Berman. I tell him, hey, I think to me this team's in control. Like, I give out advice.
Okay. Well, I guess I just
don't have that ability. I mean, you and Will Hill, I mean, it's amazing. I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. I'm in awe. I'm in awe completely of it.
We'll bring you to the sports book. Yeah, so
I mean,
you can watch eight
Al
games
Davis
at once.
Couldn't do it either. Just for the record, like Al Davis would say to me, I can't watch that. Get it? He would not do it.
Yeah, because he's
but,
not. He's not, you guys
are more talented. I get it. You guys are. Well, you're in a different league than these people. Clearly, me too.
Al Davis was not looking to make live wagers. At least I hope he wasn't. So
Al
it's
Davis
a little bit
was
different.
Looking to. No, the difference is Al Davis was looking to understand the game, and if you're live wagering, you want to understand the game.
Yeah.
I think you're opening yourself up for mistakes.
No, but there's also instances.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So when you complain about it, you know, I mean, I had to sit there and listen to Scott Hansen just advertise that he's going to be on all these stations. I mean, that was pathetic enough, right? Like, I don't need that. Like, I'm not watching Red Zone for you, Scott. At some point, somebody tell him that.
You're not ready for 7 hours of commercial-free football?
No, I'm not watching. I didn't watch one minute of them last year. And now that I have the YouTube, I'm assuming I'm going to Andrew Sicily. I don't know who's going to do it for YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's. I think it might just be Hansen now. I think Hansen's doing it all for both of them now. I believe since now that Sunday Ticket's no longer with DirecTV, but nobody cares about what Scott Hansen's doing upcoming this Sunday.
But you know, I mean, you'll just go back to watching four at a time. I mean, it's amazing. I'm in awe.
Yeah, well, you know, you learn something new every day. Michael Lombardi, in awe of Femi Ebebefe. Let's get to your notes that you were studying, though, last night in the West Coast with the Denver Broncos and the Arizona Cardinals. And we talked a little bit about this before we started the show here, but what did you make of Denver? They lost the game 18-17. Thank God my guy David Blau came through the back door and got me a winning bet because last night was a little bit difficult. We'll get into some of the other decisions that were made by some of these coaches. But
I thought you took Arizona in the six. I thought you took that.
Yeah, I took the plus six. Yeah.
All right, so what are you complaining about on that?
No, I'm good. Well, I have another complaint about a different game. But I'm saying thank for David Blau. Let's talk about this first.
I thought Denver's offense looked horrible. I thought that I'm sure Sean Payton's not happy with it either. I thought Russell Wilson, the first play of the game, he runs boot and he throws the ball behind the guy, drops it. Second play of the game, he gets sacked. You know, I mean, he had the one inside route to Judy, but then he got sacked again. I mean, if they think Russell's improved – that tape there sure as hell didn't show it. And I don't think – look, the one thing I think you were dead on right about was that Arizona was going to play with high level of energy, right? And let's not confuse high level of energy transitioning itself into the regular season. Like, let's not fall for that. However, that being said, you know, I was not impressed with Stidham. I was not impressed with – and they got four series. I mean, Russell Wilson played a lot in that game.
He did.
He played a lot. I mean – you know, Garrett Bowles was the left tackle in the game, and he got beat. He got beat early. So there's a work in progress in Denver. There really is.
Yeah. To me, I thought the offense in general looked a little bit uncomfortable because, like you mentioned, like their just offense was bad. Like the passing for the all quarterbacks, three of them combined, they were 19 of 37, 190 yards, a TD, and an interception. Russell Wilson getting those reps all the way into the second quarter, and it just looked like they just weren't really comfortable from what I saw. Maybe that progresses throughout the preseason, but early signs, it didn't look good, and Russell Wilson didn't look good in his outing. I know they wanted to get his confidence up there, but yeah, it was rough.
I love that you said he didn't look good. His quarterback rating was 102.4, just so you know. Well, just so you know, it was 102.4 because that's what we based Justin Fields' last five games on, that quarterback rating. You know, he had a really good quarterback rating the last five games.
Just so we know,
he had 13 attempts for 93 yards. That's not good. That's not good.
Here's the difference. 102.4 is the passer rating. The QBR is different than the passer rating. So I don't know what the QBR was for the preseason. I don't see this in my box score. But don't try to drag Fields into this. He's going to showcase tonight or later on this afternoon, Michael.
Sure, he's going to run around. Sure, he'll be a running back. Look, I think to me the concern you have to have if you're Denver is Sean put all this money in the offensive line.
Yeah.
And a defensive front for Arizona, which is not exactly a dominant defensive front, struggled, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this Clayton Tune idea that he's going to be the starting quarterback in Arizona may not have come to fruition in that game the way he played.
Yeah, I think that I don't want to say it ended last night, but I think we got to slow
it. It wasn't impressive.
Yeah, we got to pump the brakes on this Clayton Tune thing for the Cardinals there. Colt McCoy, I was surprised he only played about one series, but I guess they want to kind of keep him healthy there.
I mean, he started to run, and when Colt McCoy was running around, I'm like, oh my God, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, his longest pass of the day was 6 yards. I mean, you got to throw the ball up the field a little bit. You can't just take checkdowns. That's what I'm saying. Russell Wilson was 13. He had 13 attempts for 93. That's the biggest concern. And one of those throws was 21 yards.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good for the Denver Broncos. Brian Broaddus of 105.3 The Fan joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. Femi Abefefe alongside Michael Lombardi here rolling along on this Saturday morning. Later on today, we'll have a number of NFL games, which I will try to watch multiple once again impress Michael Lombardi.
I'm in complete awe. You're like John Nash when he's trying to break the code of you're just looking at that board like crazy. I'm in a complete awe.
You know, the numbers are going around in the head. It's a beautiful mind over here in Las Vegas. But we're also in awe of our next guest here, Michael Lombardi. We're bringing on buddy, Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, now radio host over at 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. Broaddus, we appreciate you joining us here this morning. And we'll start with the big picture with this Dallas Cowboys team. Do you think that this year, from what you've seen in training camp, the Cowboys are ready to take that proverbial next step and win multiple playoff games?
Well, I'll tell you what, and good morning to you, gentlemen. The problem they have right now is their offensive line. And it's very clear with no Zach Martin that the right side of their offensive line is clearly compromised. And, you know, they're trying to get Terrence Steele back in the mix at right tackle. He and Martin together, you know, when they're one of the better teams running the football when those two are together. But they've got some issues right now with the right guard. They've got some issues with health at the center. If something happens to Tyron Smith, which everybody in Dallas always expects, something's going to happen. then that means they're going to have to kick Tyler Smith out to left tackle. So, yeah, this season for them really hinges on can they, in the next 2-3 weeks, figure out what their offensive line situation is going to look like going into week one against the Giants.
Hey, Brian, talk to me about – I mean, Jerry was pretty emphatic. He doesn't want to pay Zach, and Zach's accumulating $50,000 a day. What do you see as the end in this? Obviously, Zach's got leverage because the line's not playing well, but Jerry
right.
doesn't seem like he's going to buckle.
No, he really wasn't. We had an event with Jerry, at Nobu. It's funny, Jerry's nice to us as we, he spends money on us to feed us and give us drinks, and then we rip his ass for things that he doesn't do right. So it's kind of a unique dynamic that we deal with here in Dallas. But yeah, I mean, he was very adamant about that. This team drafts very well. They can't get their contracts to stagger like they need. They have multiple contracts that seem to come up at the worst time, and they have to deal with Parsons and Lamb, and they got Diggs done. That was the one I thought was going to be difficult, but yeah, these contracts, and then, with the Dak situation that's looming as well. So, there's a lot of things going on with them contractually, but no, he was pretty dug in on that about, with Martin, and he was adamant that, at one time Zach Martin was the highest paid guard in the league. And, through time, the longer you sit on these contracts with length, then you're not going to be the highest paid guy anymore. And, Jerry's very, very, he points that out, all the time to us. So, I didn't honestly think, guys, that Zach Martin was going to sit there and take $50,000 of fines every day. But he's dug in, too. And so, we'll see this afternoon against Jacksonville. This offensive line, like I said, they've had their problems in practice. I think Dallas has got a pretty good front seven. We'll see if they can block somebody other than the Cowboys today.
We're speaking with Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, also now radio host at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, talking Dallas Cowboys here on the Lombardi Line. Well, Broaddus, you mentioned Dak Prescott and his contract situation, whether he's going to get the extension. We know he has the no franchise tag clause after what he went with the last contract. But from what you've seen on the field with Dak Prescott, because I've seen on social media the interception tracker is out there. Everybody's worried about these interceptions. Are you worried when you see Dak Prescott here about turning the football over, or is last season sort of an aberration?
Well, the problem with Dak, and I think Michael will attest to this as well, when you watch Dak play, I don't think he necessarily sees the field all that well at times. And that's the problem. It's the interceptions with Diggs and, Hooker and people like that, who were, middle of the field or up the sideline, maybe the throw instead of being left outside, it's inside. And so you have the defensive back has a chance to make the play. That's mechanical stuff that, he's got to figure that stuff out, but he's in year 8 of that. The interceptions that bother me the most, guys, are when he doesn't see Leighton Vander Esch on the goal line and he's trying to fit a ball into a window that, Leighton's standing right there. Every one of Dak's bad interceptions, and he's had a couple in it throughout his career, like in the Commanders game a couple of years ago where Dallas was trying to put the game away, didn't see the linebacker underneath. The problem is that they're talking about playing Dak underneath center more. Again, Michael will attest to this. Quarterbacks that play under center, then they use play action, turn their back to the defense. And now you have to re-find everybody on the field, and that seems to be a little bit of a problem with Dak. Those are the interceptions that bother me the most. The other ones where, he's trying to throw a deep ball, a 9-route, vertical route, and he throws it inside instead of outside. Well, those are things that, they surely can work on. But the stuff where he doesn't see defenders, those are the ones that are the biggest problems, and Cowboy fans should be concerned with that.
Brian, tell us about the difference between the Cowboy offense this year than last year. You mentioned more under center. What is the running back situation? Is Rico Dowdle and Malik Davis or Deuce Vaughn, what are those guys? I mean, who is going to be the power back to go along with Pollard?
Yeah, they really don't have a power back, Michael. And the thing is that a lot of their runs have been more of their working more on the edges. They're more the type of crack toss, more of just toss sweep, outside zone type stuff. They really haven't shown this ability to say, okay, we're going to load up and, you know, and run the ball inside. They do like Rico Dowdle a lot. Now, Dowdle is a guy that, you know, every time they hand him the ball, you know, there seems to be good things that happen, but these are in training camp practices and stuff like that. He has a hard time staying healthy. You know, that's the problem. You know, we got three preseason games. They're going to hand him the ball. He's going to look good. And then all of a sudden he's going to get pulled down and he's dealing with a calf injury or a quad or something like that. You know, so the reliability factor of that is, you know, has been kind of something that's always been a question, but they like Malik Davis a lot. Deuce Vaughn has shown that he is capable. You know, guys, he is short at 5'5". I mean, he really is short. But you watch him run, he's got explosiveness, he has quickness. You know, he's one of these guys that all of a sudden he's to the hole, through the hole, you know, and then the defenders are having to react to him. So, you know, at Kansas State, he was a fine player. He really, really was. So, you know, they're leaning on him right now, but they're going to have to figure out one of these other backs, whether it's Dowdle or Malik Davis, or it might even be, if they don't like that, then, you know, maybe you see Jerry Jones step up and say, hey, we need to get Ezekiel Elliott back here. And, you know, that's kind of, I think, the plan B of plan Bs.
Broadus, we got about a couple minutes left. Is this defense as good as advertised?
It is. It really is. And, you know, adding Stephon Gilmore to it, they've really done a nice job. He's been very quietly. He practices so well, such a pro. And, you know, they've done a good job at the safety spot. The linebackers are, you know, they've got this kid, Damone Clark, that's coming along well. Leighton Vander Esch. They've gotten, and actually the defensive tackles are playing really well. And that's something, you know, with Hankins, Mozzie Smith, even, Quentin Bohanna has played well in these practices. So, you know, again, the offensive line has been compromised, but the defensive front seven, I think, has shown up pretty well for them in these practices.
Yeah, you know, they're going to have to rely, you know, that defense can carry them. And, you know, one of the things I think you're right is if they don't get this line in shape, then that's going to be hard for them to play from in front, which will highlight how good this defense really is.
No, you're absolutely right, Michael. That's the thing about it. If they figure out Martin comes in, they get Steele, you know, healthy again and rolling like he needs to be, they could be good on that right side. They just got to figure that out quickly because, again, you know, we're in the preseason week one, and then next thing you know, we're having final cutdowns and getting ready for the Giants game. And you just don't want the questions about your offensive line. They need to find a way when they build a lead to run that football. And, you know, they can't do that if they have all their pieces in place.
Real quick here, brought us in about 20 seconds. Is it going to be Cooper Rush for a half and Will Greer for another half, or how are they going to divvy up those QB reps?
Yeah, they've kind of kept that close to the vest, but you've got the right idea. They really do like both these quarterbacks. They do want to see Will Greer get an opportunity, so he will have that. I think he'll get the majority of the work today.
All right, we'll see that later on this afternoon. Cowboys taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout. Check him out over at 105.3 The Fan down there in Dallas. Good stuff, Broaddus, as always. We'll hope to talk soon.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Bucket.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff there. So a little bit of concern with this offensive line, Michael, man. Like this, the Zach Martin thing, I'm not like too worried right now, but if this goes another couple weeks, could be uh-oh
time.
It's
what I said either on the shuffle is if they have an injury, then it's really problematic.
Well, we'll react more on that on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in most states. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We are presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. We thank Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, now radio host at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He joined us in the last segment talking some Dallas Cowboys. If you missed that, make sure you check it out in podcast form. The Lombardi Line podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And also, subscribe, rate, and review to the GM Shuffle podcast. Michael and I do the GM Shuffle podcast. New episode dropping on Monday. You get Mondays and Thursdays all throughout the NFL season. But Michael, let's continue to talk about some preseason games. Last night, we'll finish up all last night's games. Second hour, we'll get to tonight's games and this afternoon's games. Six more games we have on this week one preseason slate today, two coming up tomorrow. But I had to chuckle about this one because this ended up costing me a little bit of money here on a bet that I made. I bet the under in the Giants-Lions game. I had under 36.5. I think it closed around 35.5 or so. So heading into the game, we're feeling good. Get that coveted closing line value. However, I did not think that my guy Dan Campbell would be going for it on 4th-and-1 at his own 30-yard line in a preseason game. I thought we saved that for the regular season. So he does that, sets up the Giants just for an easy chip shot field goal in field goal range. Then the Lions, they score a touchdown at the end of the game with about 2 minutes left. The game goes over the total by a couple points, and I'm blaming that 3 points that he gave up after failing the fourth down conversion for why I didn't win my bet. And that was not something that I wanted to see last night. So there's that for Giants and Lions for me.
Well, I mean, Tommy DeVito, look at him, you know, 9 incomplete passes the whole day, you know, threw for 155 yards in 24 attempts. I mean, look, the first play Nate Sudfeld's in the game, he throws a pick, you know, and it gets hit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think to me, it's so hard to predict. You know, I don't know what Dan Campbell was thinking in terms of that, but I'm sure he probably just wanted to see if he can, you know, work on his short yardage, not care about the outcome of the game. And, you know, obviously it didn't work out for him.
Yeah, it didn't work out for him. Didn't work out for me, unfortunately. What did you make of
Was that one of the four games you had on at one time? Did you kind of have that in there?
Well, I missed the fourth down conversion, unfortunately. I saw it on replay. But I did see the final touchdown at the end there. So, but I would have seen it live had I had four games up. That would have been nice.
It was an interesting game. I didn't see the whole game. I watched the little bit of it this morning. Mm. So I'll go back and watch it today. Yeah. But, you know, look, they practiced against one another. You know, Benny Snell just showed up in Detroit 2 days ago, and they gave him 6 carries in the game, which tells you where they are. And then, even, you know, we saw Gibbs play in the game. He had 6 carries as well. So, you know, they're trying to kind of get their team going. But sometimes it's hard on the quarterbacks, especially Sudfeld. You know, first play of the game, he just gets railed down, you know, and so he got pressured right away. So that doesn't always make it easy on you. I thought the other game that was interesting, Femi, was, and I'm going to look further into this, it was the Miami-Atlanta game.
Mm.
You know, because, you know, Atlanta, they obviously didn't play a lot of their starters, and Miami can't really run the ball, but yet Miami actually tried to run the ball in the game, and they had success. Mm-hmm. You know, now they couldn't put the ball in the end zone, but, you know, they had 26 carries for 168 yards. You know, they had 2 long runs, which really made up for it. They had a 32-yard run, and Gaskins had a 35-yard run. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. The running back from Texas, Achane?
Yeah, Devin Achane.
Yeah, you know, they tried to get him going, right? They tried. He's got great speed, great explosiveness. He had 10 carries for 25 yards. Now, he was more impactful in the passing game where he averaged 10 yards a catch on 4 catches. So we'll see how that manifests itself through. But you got to think when you put Mike White in the game or Skylar Thompson, both guys have had some experience. Skylar Thompson started a playoff game, right? You know, and they did not play to the level that you would think. And that offensive line gave up 5 sacks.
Yeah, that was another loser for me last night. Was I had the over 36.5 because, like you, I saw, okay, I'm going to get Mike White, who has a lot of experience playing in the regular season. Skylar Thompson played a playoff game. They should be able to handle playing against 3rd, 4th, 5th stringers, but maybe the offensive lines were just too bad. They couldn't get anything going.
I think Miami's offensive line is going to be a problem. Now, look, they didn't play everybody, right? So they're trying to go through their guys. But Etchenberg played at left guard, right? And they played Austin Jackson to start the game at right tackle. Those are 2 guys they're counting on to be starters. So, you know, you got to see what that looks like. And we'll see as it goes forward. Atlanta, defensively, they didn't play any of their guys. I mean, they played all their backups in there. So it'll be, you know, one of the things you want to be able to do is when you're starting some of your starting offensive linemen, you want to see them play really well. A lot of teams didn't do that. Miami did.
Well, let's get to Steelers-Buccaneers. We haven't talked about this game, which is an interesting game. I was watching this one quite a bit in the first half there. We have the quarterback competition between Baker Mayfield and Kyle
Now, I clarify, were you watching this one with three other games, or were you watching this with just one game?
I was watching this one. I had this full screen on my desktop.
Okay, good. Volume right, just, up. I want to clarify.
I had the volume
that means
up.
You were paying attention to just one game. I got it. Okay.
I was definitely, because I wanted to see this quarterback competition. I also had a bet in it, too. I had two bets in this game. But I had the Packers-Bengals muted up top. Then I had a baseball game, another one that was muted. They never had volume
baseball,
on that.
Court. Yeah.
But, you know,
again,
just,
Will, only you and Will Hill could do that. Baseball, football.
I couldn't put another NFL game on. It was only on NFL Plus, and I couldn't put up. So I was like, I've got to put something else on. I'm going to put an infomercial on there. You know, so I put a baseball game on there. But I was watching this game with the volume up in the first half, and I was impressed with Kenny Pickett, led that first team offense down the field. George Pickens there with the touchdown. Pickens looks good. You know, they've been hearing a lot of good stuff about him. He's a kind of a training camp all-star that we discussed on the GM Shuffle podcast. But Pittsburgh, they came out ready to go in this game. And we ended up going 1-1 with this one. We had the Bucs in the over. The Bucs did not get home, but at least the over did.
Yeah. Well, look, Trask, again, you know, last summer, Trask turned the ball over. And I think whoever wins the starting job is going to be who protects the ball. You know, Baker Mayfield was 8-for-9 in the game for 63 yards. So, you know, he showed it. And Trask wasn't bad. I mean, Trask was 9-for-10 for 99 yards. The problem was he threw a pick and he got sacked 3 times, so which means he held on to the ball too long. But, you know, I think Pittsburgh's a really good team. I think Pittsburgh's undervalued at 8.5 in the betting market right now. I would, you know, I think that Pickett's got more maturity. I think they have really good skill players. And I think their defense is much improved from a year ago. But really, the second half of the season for Pittsburgh's defense, they were very good. They gave up an average of 13 points. If you throw out the game against Cincinnati that they lost, they only gave up about an average of 13.7 points over the remaining 8 games of the year. So that was pretty impressive. So I think this offensive line has improved. And I think Pittsburgh's a good team. I think Pittsburgh likes being in this position where nobody's counting on them. San Francisco will have their work cut out for them when they go back there.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, just about this AFC North, and this might not be the greatest betting strategy, but honestly, I was thinking about maybe you kind of go into the season and you have perhaps a bet on the Steelers to win the division, and then try to sort of buy low on each one of these teams at different points throughout the regular season, because I think all four teams, there's something to like about all four of them. I think we can kind of start there. And Pittsburgh right now is the longest price. They're plus 450 to win the AFC North. Cleveland's plus 375. But let's say you bet Pittsburgh plus 450, you put $100 on there. We'll just use a flat $100 on that one. And then if you like Cleveland to win week one against Cincinnati, maybe you put $100 on Cleveland as well at plus 375. And those are kind of your two bets that you enter the season with in the North. And then at different spots, because we think that Cincinnati might start slow. They've started slow in the past under Zach Taylor. Maybe there's a better price than plus 160 on the Bengals. Maybe there's a better price than plus 220 on the Ravens at some point this regular season. It almost feels like this is a division to where maybe you try to kind of corner the market and buy low all throughout the season with each of these teams.
Well, I mean, if you're going to play the Steelers to win the division at 450, you should play them on the over, right? I mean, those should be two things in hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Cleveland to win the division, you know, because I think Cleveland has to show that they're physically and mentally tough enough to do this. And it looked to me like there was a sense of seriousness within their defense and their offense to start that game. I like Cleveland's team. I worry about their overall in-game decision-making, but I do think that. I think the two teams that I liked on the over, they, to me, in the first preseason game, showed me their execution from training camp to the regular to the preseason was pretty good. Green Bay and Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So I that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for execution. I'm looking for rushes and completions. I'm looking for how – I'm not looking for a play here or a player. I'm looking for the total team. As I mentioned before, you can learn from the preseason. It's just not about – you know, it's not meaningless.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I think it's a really tough division. And like I said, there's something to like with each of those teams, Bengals, Ravens, Browns, and Steelers in the AFC North. We begin hour number 2 on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.